just a word that it's a joy to have Ben and Ashley here for these days. And 2 weeks from tomorrow, they'll be flying back to Madagascar. God gave them a cute little baby girl, healthy and well. And we're happy for that and happy that Ashley's well and thankful for God's blessing that way. And thankful for a little time with them. It comes and goes so quickly, you can't believe it. Some of you know. But it's a joy to just be able to have these days with them. And I wanted to preach tonight. The Lord's been good to them, used them in Madagascar. And so we will enjoy the message after the song. Brother Dave, thank you, brother. Sing for us, would you please? Amen.
That the Bible is God's holy word, that Jesus who lived among men long ago is divine and the Christ of God. Old-fashioned because I believe and accept only what has been spoken from heaven. Old-fashioned because at the cross I was saved, at the cross had my sins forgiven. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Old-fashioned because I am looking above to Jesus, my glorified Lord. Because I believe He is coming again, fulfilling His holy word. My sin was old-fashioned, my guilt was old-fashioned, God's love was old-fashioned, I know. And the way I was saved was the old-fashioned way, through the blood that makes whiter than snow. Whiter than snow, yes, whiter than snow. Through the blood that makes whiter than snow.
Amen. Deuteronomy chapter 4, please. Deuteronomy chapter 4, it is a blessing to be here tonight. I want to start by saying thank you so much to the church. You'll never know what you mean to us. And just the people who have told us that they were praying for us, and not just, yeah, we were praying for you, but you can tell genuinely keeping you in prayer and keeping you before the Lord. And I want to say thank you for that. We sure appreciate the Lord's goodness to us. And I also want to say that missionary's life, you say goodbye. And you say goodbye to the people there, you say goodbye to the people here, you say the girls got settled in for a little bit down in Oklahoma and said goodbye to friends there, and they came here, it's only for a month, and they were nervous the first day of school. They were walking in, and they were nervous, and the kids just welcomed them back and said their names and knew their names. And, you know, it's a little thing, but it's not a little thing, and it's a big thing, and so thank you so much. I do. I am very sorry that it's just a short time that we're going to be here. We needed to be down in Oklahoma City for the birth, and we are eager to get back and get back to Madagascar. We came back just for the birth, and but we're ready to get back. And the Lord was really blessing the ministry there, and I hope it's okay. They say it's okay. I don't know if they're just saying what makes me happy. Yeah, preacher, it's going great. You know, I don't know. Well, we're going to find out in about 2 weeks or so, and we'll know. And but if it's falling apart, I'll know I have a lot more work to do. If it's doing well, I'll know that we've done somewhat of our job, amen, because that's the goal. But anyways, we are eager to get back. Next quarter, we hope to spend more time here, and we're pretty busy getting ready to go, so I apologize for that. But it does mean a lot to us to be here. And I want to say real quickly before the message, I appreciate all that this church does to get behind their missionaries' families. The missionary families that go out from this church, they go out with the backing of the church, and they go out with a lot of people behind them. And that's a blessing. And the church had us on the insurance when we first started out for the first year, supported us. People in this church put together helped us with our first presentation, did the printing for our prayer cards. People in this church have gotten tracks. We're taking tracks to Madagascar on this container that the missionary is sending out because people in this church, and then instruments on the container to be used in the ministry in Madagascar from people in this church. And so thank you so much, church, for what you do for us, and not just for our family, but for all the missionaries. Thank you especially for sending Brother Brent Gellis over to Madagascar last year. That was a huge blessing. I knew we had to start the Bible Institute, but had never done it before. And that's a big thing. If you really, just even starting it, but then it's all got to be in a different language. It's in a different setting. You're trying to do it in a different way. You don't have the hours. You don't have what you can do in the States. And he's helped do that in several different countries now. And he was a tremendous blessing to me and to our church. One of the best, when I say the Lord really moved in a Sunday morning service there, in a special way in one of his messages, and he's coming back this August again, so that's a blessing, and I thank you for your help on that. I appreciate that so much. Deuteronomy chapter 4 tonight, this message is hopefully, it'll be a blessing and an encouragement. It'll be a plug for what this church has stood for and what this church is doing, and hopefully what this church will continue to do in the days ahead. I want to say right off the bat that I hold the highest opinion of the people in this room, and just appreciate the faithful service over the years. Just appreciate all that is taken for this to happen tonight. This just doesn't happen without God's people doing a lot over a long time. And so really appreciate the people in this room, and hopefully it will be a blessing and an encouragement to you. Deuteronomy chapter 4 and verse number 1. Now therefore hearken, O Israel, unto the statutes and unto the judgments which I teach you for to do them, that ye may live and go in and possess the land which the Lord God of your fathers giveth you. Ye shall not add unto the word which I command you, neither shall ye diminish aught from it, that ye may keep the commandments of the Lord your God which I command you. Your eyes have seen what the Lord did because of Baal-peor. For all the men that follow Baal-peor, the Lord thy God hath destroyed them from among you. But ye that did cleave unto the Lord your God are alive, every one of you, this day. Behold, I have taught you statutes and judgments, even as the Lord my God commanded me, that ye should do so in the land whither ye go to possess it. Keep therefore and do them. For this is your wisdom and your understanding in the sight of the nations, which shall hear all these statutes, and say, surely this great nation is a wise and understanding people. For what nation is there so great, who hath God so nigh unto them, as the Lord our God is in all things that we call upon him for? And what nation is there so great that has statutes and judgments so righteous as all this law, which I set before you this day? This is what I want to key in on tonight. Only take heed to thyself, and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen, and lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons, especially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb, when the Lord said unto me, gather me the people together, and I will make them hear my words, that they may learn to fear me all the days that they shall live upon the earth, and that they may teach their children. I want to speak tonight for a few minutes on the next 40 years. The next 40 years. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, you know that we cannot do anything on our own, and we trust, Lord, your word, and we trust the power of the Holy Spirit. And Lord, we know that you have what we need tonight, and I just ask, Lord, that you would help us and help me to step aside, and that you would just use me and fill me and fill us, and that you would take center place tonight, and you would give your message to your people. And I pray you do this in a special way, and I pray this in Jesus' name. And amen. The next 40 years, the book of Deuteronomy is a parenthesis between the books of Numbers and Deuteronomy. It's not a historical book that covers a time period of several years or decades in Israel's history, but rather it's a book that gives the words of Moses to the children of Israel during the last few months of Moses' life. And so now here's Israel. Israel, after spending 40 years wandering in the wilderness, is now camped on the east side of Jordan in the land of Moab. And in just a few short months, Moses is going to go up to Mount Pisgah and he's going to view the land that they're going to enter. He's going to die and Joshua is going to take the children of Israel over the Jordan River and finally into the promised land. I think it is important to note who's speaking. The Bible tells us that Moses is the one doing the speaking. The Bible says about Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 34 and verse 7 that he was 120 years old. His eye was not dim, nor his natural force abated. And I want you to look at Deuteronomy chapter 1 and verse number 3 quickly. The Bible says there, and it came to pass in the 40th year, in the 11th month, on the first day of the month, that Moses spake unto the children of Israel, and here it is, according unto all that the Lord had given him in commandment unto them. And I have to say that I think possibly, the second most important decision that a Christian will make, that any person will make, the second most important decision you'll make, the most important decision you'll ever make is a decision to be saved, to accept Christ as your Savior. But after that, I cannot think of a more important decision for the child of God than to choose under what man of God and under what ministry in what church he'll put himself and his family. Because you think about it, his whole view or your whole view of Christianity, of the Bible, of the will of God, of what you want in a spouse, of what you want for the Lord, for what you want your life to amount to, it is going to be greatly influenced by the man of God that you sit under week in and week out. And we need God's man speaking to us according to the word of the Lord. We need that. And I want to say that I think one of the great dangers facing people my age, young couples and young families in our day, I really do, I think one of the great dangers that faces us today is the danger of social media. It's my opinion that millennials are obsessed with social media. And I think they're obsessed with social media because they're obsessed with themselves. Let me just say this, and this is very kind. I don't want everybody else to know what I'm doing. And I don't care what everybody else is doing all the time. I don't know. People have time for it. Now, we have Instagram. She has Instagram, and we enjoy that. We enjoy seeing the pictures of the families in this church and we see pictures of all kinds of people here and activities, and she posts pictures of us and whatnot. I'm not talking about something like that. When people get obsessed with it, and they're obsessed with themselves, and I'm telling you what, it used to be that people came to church, and their life was influenced, and their life was shaped by the preaching of the Word of God, by the man of God, but now their avenues, they're opened up to everybody's opinion. Everybody else is doing it. It's dangerous. We've become the me generation. I'm ashamed to say, I guess I'm a millennial. I guess on the very back end, I don't know. But now we're having cry-ins. They call them snowflakes. Different things. But let me give you an example of this. And this is not new. This is old, but I heard about it. Someone just recently sent me this link to a blog written by a pastor, a young pastor. Maybe you have read, but it was titled Featured Leadership, The New Independent Baptists. And in his article, he is optimistic about the future because of all the youth he sees around him. And because of all the men who are inheriting the pulpits and the churches and the ministries who are going to be the next preachers, the next evangelists, the next church members, and the next missionaries. And it's all about the young, and the young, and the young, and the us, and the we. And we're the new independent Baptists. And the whole article is about how we have rejected what we have historically stood for. And we're going to start something new. Such as, he says, that these new independent Baptists understand that true change will not come when people are subjected to an artificial list of holiness based on personal preferences. And I agree with that. But listen, folks, holiness is not the holiness that's preached from this pulpit. The holiness that's preached from this Bible is not holiness based on preferential, based on preferences. There are men of unity who despise hyper-separatism. The litmus test for fellowship has nothing to do with jeans versus ties, hymns versus CCM, Sunday school versus small groups. Churches should look extremely different from one another. And all this junk, and all this stuff. And he says in his article, he says, our generation is just getting started. And then he says, this is what caught me, and this is what I thought of when I read this in my bell ring, this is what I thought of. He said, the next 40 years belong to us. The next 40 years belong to us. This is the mentality of the me generation. And why? And my first thought is, who do you think you are to speak for the rest of us? Who do you think you are to speak for the rest of us and say, we're the new independent Baptists? And this is what we're going to do, and this is how we're going to do it. You can't speak for the rest of us. In our text, after 40 years since leaving Egypt, the new generation ready to enter the promised land, Moses, the proven, the seasoned, 120-year-old man of God, is the human instrument that God is using to speak to His people. And look who God specifically speaks to in chapter 4, again in verse 9. This is what caught my attention. Only take heed to thyself and keep thy soul diligently, lest thou forget the things which thine eyes have seen. And lest they depart from thy heart all the days of thy life. And here it is. But teach them thy sons and thy sons' sons. He's not speaking to the young men. He's not speaking to the young people in that group. He is speaking to the older men and women and servants of God in that group. And He is saying, you lead the way. And you show the way for the young ones, the people that are my age, to follow in your footsteps. You think about it. The people that were 20 years of age and older died off, didn't they? But that means the people who were 19 or 20 spent 40 years in the wilderness. That means they're now almost 60 years old. And He said, you saw some things. I can remember things that happened at the church when I was 5 years old. So I believe He's probably speaking to people who are 45 to 60 years old. And He said, now in this congregation, you have sons and daughters. And now you have grandkids probably. And you teach them. And you lead them and you show them now what to do. I thought about that. You know, in the Malagasy culture, it's not the youth that means anything. It's the elders. Everything, they respect the aged. He said, don't forget what your eyes have seen. I thought about that. Brother Finn, Ashley's dad, was talking to me about something. He said, you know, I used to think this, but after 40 years of ministry, I now believe this. And I thought about that. Those eyes have seen something. Those eyes have seen things longer than I've been alive. In ministry longer than I've been alive. And I thought about this church. I love this church. You know what we have in this church now? We have generations now, don't we? We either have or will have soon people in this church who were in this church, got married in this church, have kids in this church, and now have or are going to have grandkids in this church. And we've had some good days. But if the good days are going to continue, we're going to have to follow the principle in verse number 9. And in Deuteronomy, you can basically take the Deuteronomy and summarize it by three things that Moses says to these people, to the children of Israel. This is what I want to focus on tonight, and we'll be done. Number one, Moses, he revisits the past covenant. Look at verse number 10. He says, "Specially the day that thou stoodest before the Lord thy God in Horeb. When the Lord said unto me, gather the people together, and I will make them hear my words." You know, it's interesting, He didn't talk about the now. And He didn't talk about the future. What He took them back to was the past. He said, God did something special in the past. God did something. And I'm going to tell you this, God has done something special here in the past. There are things that people in this church and sitting in this room, you've seen things with your eyes that the kids in this church have never seen. I've seen things that they've never seen. I remember the old square white tables. Anybody remember those? Guys my age used to carry those around. Brother Don used to say there's going to be white tables in hell for people to carry around. I think about that. They have the nice gym out there and the tables on the rolling things. I think about that, you know. But it's good for us sometimes to be reminded a little bit of what God has done. And it goes beyond that. I believe that Moses decided to take them back to the past for a certain reason, and this is why it is. The past is known and it's proven. One of the hard things about a missionary faces is he when he gets into a different culture, he is totally different. And you think you're ready for it, and you're not. And you realize you're not even thinking on the same page. You're not even thinking in the same ballpark. And one of the things that I've had to struggle with and learn about in Madagascar is the subject of time. It's a totally different concept there. And if I can get some help tonight, can I get some help? Okay, I want you to, if you can stand right here, and can you stand over here on this side, and you too? Brother, I forget your name, what's your name? Trent. Okay, over here. And one of the things that how we view time is we view time like this. We view time, I think, probably generally as Americans, that time is linear. And we're here and we are moving through time. And the past is behind us and the future is before us and we're moving through time. The Malagasy view time completely differently. They view time like this. He is fixed. He is not moving, but time is moving. He is facing this way, for example, and this is the future. And the future comes from behind. And the future comes to the present. And the future goes on because he's staying fixed and time is moving. And now the future has become the past. And so now, and it's even in their language. I'm not going to take time for that, but it's even in their language. What's in front of them is the past. Now let's think about that for a second. He can see the past, can't he? He knows the past. He can't see the future, can he? He doesn't know the future. What he does know is what has happened in the past. And so there are some things I want to say about this. Why did Moses take him to the past? Well, how about this? What do we have in the past? We have the Word of God that's been given to us in the past. God has given that to us, and all the examples in the Word of God on how to live our lives and how not to live our lives and how it turned out for so-and-so and how it turned out for them. Follow their example. Don't do like they did. That's all in front of us. We can open it up and read it in God's Word. Men like my dad and others in this room who are that age, they have the experience. They've lived longer than us in the past. They've seen things. They've seen ministries. They've seen how families and ministries started out and how they ended. And so what we do should never be based on the present. It should always be based on the past. People get in trouble when questions like this, how do I feel now when that dictates what I do? How do I feel now? What are others doing now around me? Do you see that? No. What we need to do, and Moses takes him to the past. He said, listen, God did something for you. That is proven. That is sure. That is unchanging. You act on that. But now in the generation, it's more about what others doing. What are my friends doing? How do I feel? Thank you. You can be seated. But no, he takes them to the past. You don't act on that. You act on what you know that God has given you. Then I want to say this. Number two, in the book of Deuteronomy, Moses does something else. He reestablishes the present course. Look at chapter 4 and verse number 44. After he takes them to the past, he goes to verse 44 and it says there, and this is the law which Moses set before the children of Israel. Skip down to chapter 5 and verse 1. And Moses called all Israel and said unto them, hear, O Israel, the statutes and judgments which I speak in your ears this day, that ye may learn them and keep and do them. The Lord our God made a covenant with us in Horeb. The Lord made not this covenant with our fathers, but with us, even us who are all of us here alive this day. And he talks about that. Look what he says in verse number 6. I am the Lord thy God, which brought thee out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. And then he gives the exact same 10 commandments that he gave back in the book of Exodus. So what Moses is saying, first of all, he takes them back to the past and said, listen, this is what God has already done for us. This is proven. This is sure. This will work. And then he says, we're going to stay on that course. We haven't changed. He gives the same, nothing has changed. It's the same law. He said, we left Egypt because God doesn't want us there. We're on the way to the promised land because that's where God wants us. And God doesn't want us to be like the people in Egypt. And God doesn't want us to be like the Canaanites. He wants us to be His special people, called out for His purpose and serve Him. And that's what we're going to do. He reestablishes the same thing. I get tired of people who say things like, this is not what people want anymore. Let's look at Deuteronomy chapter 9 and verse number 8. In Deuteronomy chapter 9, he goes into the story of the golden calf. And then look what he says in chapter 10. And verse number 1, at that time the Lord said unto me, hew thee two tables of stone like unto the first, and come up unto me into the mount, and make thee an ark of wood, and I will write on the tables the words that were in the first tables which thou breakest. And thou shalt put them in the ark. And I made an ark of shittim wood, and hewed two tables of stone like unto the first, and went up into the mount, having the two tables in mine hand. And listen to this, and he wrote on the tables according to the first writing. So Moses went up to the mount, and he got the first ones, didn't he? And then what did the people do on the bottom while he was up there? They said, make us new gods. Well, that's not what the people want anymore. And after that, what did God do? God gave Moses the same exact commandments, because God doesn't change. And what He expects doesn't change. And what He wants doesn't change. And it doesn't matter if that's not what people want anymore. That's what God wants, and that's what matters. That's not a valid argument. This is not what people want anymore. How about this? Some spiritual leaders are on board with this new thing. Aaron says, hey, this is it. This is the new way to do it. That doesn't mean that we're all going to buy into that. That doesn't mean it's right. That doesn't mean, you know, everything we know about Christianity just changes because someone says it's the new way. Or they say this, look at the failures in leadership. Moses failed. He lost his temper and broke the commandments. Aaron failed. The children of Israel failed. But does that mean that we just throw away everything? No, it doesn't mean that. And I'm not joking. I talked to a man who said he was questioning everything he had been taught, a guy my age, because of failures in leadership. Can I say this? I've bought into how I was raised here, not based on people, because I bought into it because it is right. It was delivered to us from the Word of God. I was taught it from the time I was a Mrs. Wanda Jessel Sunday school class. It's from the Bible. And if it worked back then for my parents and grandparents, by the grace of God, I'm going to keep doing it. It'll work now. Reestablish it. Changing. No, it's changing. No, we can change. We can change. We don't do it that way anymore. No. We do it like the Bible says to do it. It doesn't matter if other people fail. It doesn't matter if other people change. It doesn't matter if it's not popular anymore. By God's grace, I'm going to keep doing what I'm supposed to do. Let me say this. I'm not being proud, but by God's grace, family devotions worked for me when I was a kid. And by God's grace, we're going to have family devotions in my home. Soul winning has worked in this church. And by God's grace, we're going to continue to have soul winning in Madagascar. And holiness and righteousness and all of these things have worked in the past. And by God's grace, I hope me and the rest of us my age, we're going to say this is the present course for us. And I want to say finally, Moses did something else. He rekindles the passion for Canaan. Look in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse number 23. He makes a statement. He says, and he brought us out from thence that he might bring us in, to give us the land which he sware unto our fathers. The Bible calls Egypt in the book of Deuteronomy that the iron furnace. But the Bible also in Deuteronomy refers to the wilderness as that great and terrible wilderness. And I like this. It's been 40 years. The people were excited once at one time to enter. The spies came back. They gave the negative report. The people lost heart. They lost the zeal. They lost what they're supposed to have to enter the land. And now for 40 years, they've wandered in the wilderness. Can you imagine that? Let me ask you this. How many of you enjoy driving around lost? You ever done that? Drive around in circles lost. Let me ask you this. How would you like to just go in circles for 40 years? Not have a permanent home? Not have a permanent anything? I hate moving. I hate moving. We move some. I hope we stay in this house forever. I hate moving. And so these people are in the wilderness. And now, you know what Moses does? He rekindles the passion for Canaan. He said, hey, God, even though we made some mistakes, even though we had some good days and bad days, God was with us. He did some great things. He delivered us from Egypt in a great way. And He gave us His law in Horeb at Mount Sinai. And even though we made some mistakes at Kadesh Barnea, He's been with us and kept us and protected us for 40 years. And brought us by His mercy and grace back to the promised land. And I can't go with you, but I want you to go in and possess the land. There's a man who's standing on Pisgah and he's looking forward. He's not looking backward. He's saying there's still more ground to take. There's more ground to conquer. There's still a destination. There's still a goal. We don't want to lose that. I tell you what. I just say this. I think in this last point about rekindling the passion for Canaan, I see the spirit we need in the two men, Caleb and Joshua. First of all, I see in Caleb the people, he represents people who are handing it over. Look at Joshua chapter 14. Look at Joshua chapter 14, verse number 7. Caleb speaks. He said, 40 years old was I, Joshua 14:7, when Moses, the servant of the Lord, sent me from Kadesh Barnea to spy out the land. And I love this. And I brought him word again, as it was in mine heart. He said, when I came back and said we could take the land, I wasn't just going along with what Joshua was saying. It was in my heart. I was saying, yes, let's go forward. I was saying, yes, let's believe God. Yes, let's serve God. It wasn't just fluff. It was in my heart. And look at him now, 45 years later in verse 11, as yet I am as strong this day as I was in the day that Moses sent me, as my strength was then, even so is my strength now for war, both to go out and to come in. Now therefore, give me this mountain where the Lord spake in that day. For thou heardest in that day how the Anakims were there, and that the cities were great and fenced. If so be the Lord will be with me, then I shall be able to drive them out. As the Lord said, 45 years later, Caleb said, hey, the giants that are there are the same giants that were there 45 years ago. But the same thing that was in my heart 45 years ago is in my heart today. And for those of you who someday are going to be handing over your ministries, you have been faithful. You served the Lord in your place for years and years. This church, we need you to be that. We need you to just keep it in your heart and keep the fire kindled. Give us a good example to follow and let us and hand it over to us someday. We need you to keep it hot. We don't need you to say, well, I've done my part. We need you to be our example and who we look to. Not just say, I'm done. I think about George Whitfield and the story, how he died and how he had preached, and he went to the house and they followed him to the house and said, would you preach one more time? And he was on his way up the stairs and he turned around and he had a candle in his hand and he preached till the candle went out. And then he went upstairs and he died. Listen, keep it going. Keep it in your heart. And then I want to say this to those of us, and maybe not me specifically, but to those of us who someday will be receiving the ministry from those who will be handing it over to us someday. I think the example for us to follow is the example of Joshua. Look at Joshua chapter 1 and we'll be done. Joshua chapter 1. In verse number 1, now after the death of Moses, the servant of the Lord, it came to pass that the Lord spake unto Joshua, the son of Nun. And this is what I wrote down. Joshua's taking over. How do you take over from a man like Moses? Think about that. The Bible says that no one spoke with God face to face ever like Moses did after that. No one did what he did in Egypt. How do you assume that responsibility? You're a different man. He says, Moses, the servant of the Lord, and he never calls Joshua. He said he always calls Joshua the son of Nun. You can't be them. You can't replace them. You're a different person. And you have a different task. He said to Joshua, go over this Jordan. You have a different task. You can't replace them. But here's what you can do. You can serve with the same spirit. Look at Deuteronomy 34 and verse number 9. The Bible says, and Joshua the son of Nun was full of the spirit of wisdom. For Moses had laid his hands upon him. And the children of Israel hearkened unto him and did as the Lord commanded Moses. You can't replace them. But what you can do is serve in the same spirit. I remember Brother Jack Lewis. I remember him muttering. He'd talk to himself, he'd mutter. He'd go around the church and you can't replace him. But you know what has happened? There's someone here now serving in the same spirit. And someday, we're going to need someone else to serve in that same spirit. I think about Brother Liga. I was talking the end of the day and how he's done the King's Kids since I was in the King's Kids. I can remember that. And all the games, whatever. And you think, how can you replace? How can you fill those shoes? Well, you can't be Brother Liga, but you can serve in the same spirit. You can have the same touch of God. You can have God use you to do a great thing. You can have the same spirit. And that's what I want. I don't remember the 70s, but I remember the 90s. I was here. I remember the God Save America's in the other building, in the old building. I remember those services. And I remember the first, I remember the when we sent Brother Don Oswardy out as a missionary. And I remember the old building. I remember when Brother Jeff would let us out late sometimes in his school, and that old building was packed. We had to come and sit in the back in chairs. I remember when this was built. I remember God doing some great things. And we come back from furlough, and there's still the same spirit. And a lot of times, it's the same people that I knew a long time ago, just a little bit older. Actually, 27 years older. That's how long we've been a part of this church. And they're still serving the same spirit. And now there's younger generation coming behind. And I hope we'll serve in the same spirit. Same as it was back then. And the other day I was looking at Sadie and I put her down in the car seat and I thought her whole life is ahead of her. I dropped her off in that nursery. And I don't want how it used to be for her and for my kids. I don't want this was how it once was. But we died on the vine spiritually. Oh, there's new spirit. There's a new way of doing things. There's a new this and a new that. No, I want the same thing that I got for my kids when we come back at least. Until Jesus comes. The next 40 years, let's remember what God has done for us in the past. And let's keep on the same course. Because that's worked until now and it'll work now. And let's rekindle and keep kindled the passion for more. Not less. Not back off, but more. And not a new spirit, but new people serving with the same spirit for the next 40 years or until Jesus comes. And let's pray. Heavenly Father, I pray that the message was a blessing to the people tonight. Lord, I pray that You would please do a work in our hearts. It's simply Your word. Please help us, Lord. You've done so much for us. There's been good days and some bad days. There's been highs and some lows. But You have been gracious to us for the last however many years this church has been in existence, and it started in a small building. But you did great things. Help us to not change it, but help us to just keep on in the same spirit for the next 40 years or however long till you come back. Help us, O God, to be Caleb's and Joshua's. Help us to keep tender to your word. Help us to keep a passion in our hearts. Not, I used to do this and I used to do that, but I'm still doing it and I want to do it till Jesus comes. I want to be in Canaan. I want my family to be in Canaan. I want to die in Canaan, not in the wilderness. You didn't bring us out just for us to die in the wilderness. Lord, you want us to be in Canaan. Well, thank you for it.
Our heads are bowed, the eyes are closed. And, you know, I was sitting listening there thinking, you know, this is what's happening. It's beginning. And I mentioned it before. We're seeing some of those handoffs. We're seeing some of the passing of the batons in certain ministries here, and younger adults taking the baton from those that have done it for years and years and staying on the same course, the same spirit. You don't know how vital, how important it is to these missionary families, not just his, but Brother Osforty and the others, Brother Schrock, when they come back after being away, they come back to a church that hasn't changed. And folks, that's me and you. That's on us. Let's remember the past. And let's maintain the present course. And let's keep an eye on what God has for us more. Let's stand together, please. Heads are bowed, eyes are closed. Ladies, give us a song of invitation. And if you want to come out tonight and visit this altar, you obey the Lord tonight. Tremendous message. Real help to us.